now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. This week, among other topics, I will discuss this latest cyber attack, which has infected many computer systems around the world. The country that seems to have been hit the hardest is Russia. Surprise, surprise. See how they spin this out and wind up blaming Russia? Wouldn't surprise me at all. So apparently, financial systems have been hit, corporations have been hit, and what's interesting is the malware, which now has a name, I think it's called WannaCry or something like that, I don't know the name of the malware, it originated, was developed by the National Security Agency, go figure, and somehow, by hook or crook, by leakage, or by, ironically, perhaps, although I doubt this, NSA itself was hacked into and someone got a hold of it, or I think just as likely NSA had passed it on to third parties to act as proxies to create a wall of deniability, a cutout, if you will. Somehow or other, this malware, this worm, which was initially created by the National Security Agency, wound up with an alleged third party, some woo-woo group we don't really know much about, and they went out and they did all this. And now it's caused problems, and people are freaking out because of the potential for a financial Armageddon if this affects financial markets and computer systems that regulate the financial markets. I'm reading from an article from strategic-culture.org, one of my favorite websites. The overwhelming majority of the infections appeared in Russia. The ransomware hit about 1,000 computers at the Russian Interior Ministry, though the agency's servers were not affected thanks to using the national Elbrus operating system instead of Windows. The malicious code exploits a Windows flaw patched in Microsoft's Security Bulletin MS-17-TAC-010 in March. The malware is usually covertly installed onto computers by hiding within emails containing links which users are tricked into opening. A single computer infected can end up compromising the entire corporate network. The malware is alleged to have been leaked or stolen from the National Security Agency to be reportedly distributed by the shadow brokers, which claimed to have hacked an NSA-linked team of hackers last summer, a likely story. So what we have here is this malware initially designed by the NSA, supposedly stolen from the NSA. I don't believe that for a second. And now it's kind of raging and wreaking havoc amongst computer systems all over the world. And according to a story on Zero Hedge, another one of my favorite websites, we've just entered into the second phase of this malware attack. Interesting story on globalresearch.ca, Michelle Chusadovsky's site, one of my favorite sites. Also, it's an interesting article, and the gist of it is, well, let me read you the headline. British nuclear submarines, Microsoft, and that ransomware attack by Graham Van Bergen, originally from TruePublica, and linked to the Global Research website. Now, this is an interesting article because it suggests the possible implications of the British Royal Navy installing a Microsoft operating system back in 2008 onto their submarine command system Next Generation. Let me read from the article. The program is called Submarine Command System Next Generation and uses varying numbers of standard multifunction consoles with two LCD screens hooked up on an internal Ethernet network installed on each sub. Initial reports as the program developed suggested that the OS in question would be Windows 2000, but those who have worked on it have since informed the reg that in fact it is mostly based on XP. And get this, Windows were so chuffed to an Englishman or an Australian means fired up, right? Windows were so chuffed at Windows for Submarines, they even advertised the fact to the entire world. Windows for Submarines is the program undertaken by the Royal Navy and BAE Systems to equip the nuclear-propelled and nuclear-armed warship fleet with a Windows-based command system. The transition to the Windows for Submarines command system on HMS Vigilant, a Trident nuclear missile submarine, was completed in just 18 days. I don't know why I'm laughing. Nervous laughter, I guess. Last week, I was just talking about Stuxnet, about how the Israelis, along with the NSA and the CIA, unleashed this Stuxnet malware to discombobulate the alleged Iranian nuclear weapons program. For all we know, they could have just unleashed it on the perfectly legal Iranian nuclear research, nuclear power program. Who knows wherein the truth lay. What a lot of people don't realize also, and you have to watch the documentary, I think it's called Zero Days. It's about the Stuxnet malware. I think it came out on Showtime, if memory serves. I could be wrong about that. But there's a documentary. You can find it online. Initially, the Israelis wanted to pull off another Osirik reactor-type raid. Those of you out there will remember that back around 1981, the Israelis launched F-16s, six of them, I believe, to knock out the Osirik nuclear reactor in Iraq. And they did this successfully. Now, originally, the Israelis wanted to launch another preemptive airstrike, and they have a habit of doing this. See the Six-Day War, see Osirik, okay? And they wanted to launch an airstrike to take out the Iranian nuclear research establishment and possibly what they believed was an underground Iranian nuclear weapons program beneath the surface level Iranian nuclear research power program. They wanted to launch an airstrike, right? And in so doing, hope to pull the U.S. into basically an all-out war with the Iranians. And I don't know if you would call it a case of fortunately cooler heads prevailed in the U.S. because I don't think any such thing exists with the U.S. these days, as far as cooler heads are concerned. But the U.S. compromised. NSA and CIA in particular said, wait a minute, don't do that, because we're not going to back you up this time if you go in there and launch this attack against Iran. Why don't we launch a malware attack on the alleged Iranian nuclear weapons program? And, you know, that delves into all the Stuxnet stuff. I don't need to go into that again. So now, fast forward to a week later, and suddenly the world is being messed with by this malware that originated from the NSA. Go figure. Likewise, last couple of weeks, I was talking about nuclear missiles, nuclear weapons, how every once in a while the ETs come and, you know, muck around with nuclear weapon systems, right? Just to remind the humans here who's boss. Anyway, again, the point of relevance is in this article, Global Research, they talk about a Microsoft operating system installed on British Royal Navy nuclear-powered and nuclear-armed submarines, right? At a time when this malware is like wreaking havoc in cyberspace and wreaking havoc on computers worldwide. Okay, let me go on to read this article. Windows were so chuffed, i.e. fired up, at Windows for Submarines, they even advertised the fact to the entire world. Quote, Windows for Submarines is the program undertaken by the Royal Navy and BAE Systems to equip the nuclear-propelled and nuclear-armed warship fleet with a Windows-based command system. The transition to the Windows for Submarines command system on HMS Vigilant, a Trident nuclear missile submarine, was completed in just 18 days. Now, this Microsoft blog is an open forum, and even then, an incredulous audience were questioning such a decision. Here are the first four reactions of dozens of responses, and this is on the Microsoft blog in the comments section, December 18, 2008 at 4:27 a.m. I have to ask, in all seriousness, why was Windows chosen over Unix or Linux? Question mark. Granted, a nuclear sub is a very mission-critical operation, which is exactly why I'm bewildered at the choice of Windows operating system. Please shed some light on this. And they could have asked, and why the hell did you announce it to the whole world, boneheads, right? And then here's someone named Russell Quinn, December 18, 2008, 6:31 a.m. 18 days, question mark. You guys tested this, right, question mark? And here's another person, MJU. December 18th. And what about the future when Windows 2000 and XP security is no longer supported? Which, by the way, which by the look of it, is right around the bend. Reno, December 18, 2008. What about the blue screen of death? What about fatal boot error due to its NTFS corruption? Yikes! Exclamation point. Don't think anything could possibly go wrong when a British Trident submarine fitted with American-manufactured and maintained nuclear warheads managed via American-developed software infected with American hacking tools when the red button is pushed? Think again. Well, we know, granted, apples and oranges, ETs have far more sophisticated capabilities and technologies, but there's a story that came out of the then Soviet Union, how the strategic missile forces were freaking out over there because the ETs had made one of their ballistic missiles that was tipped with a nuclear warhead go into active status, go into go status. In other words, it was set to launch, right? Story came out of the ex-Soviet Union some time ago. Now, we know that in America, ETs have mucked around with the nuclear weapon systems. We talked about the faded giants where, like, up to 22 at one time, Minuteman missiles went into no-go status when UFOs were seen flying around the launch control facilities and hovering over the nuclear missile silos, etc., etc. And so this story comes out from the former Soviet Union about the ETs mucking around with the system and overriding all the fail-safe systems. Good movie to watch, by the way, the original one with Henry Fonda and Larry Hagman. Don't muck around with the stupid George Clooney new one called Failsafe. Somehow the ETs muck with all the fail-safe systems and made it seem as if it was going to launch a nuclear missile, probably targeted to the U.S. That would have been a lousy day in Mudville, let me tell you, okay? So the point of relevance is we have these British nuclear submarines, which are armed with the Trident missiles, which are MIRVed, by the way, multiple independently targeted re-entry vehicles. In other words, in the nose cone of the Trident missiles is what's known as a bus. Within the bus are, depending on each missile capability, there could be anywhere from 3 up to 7 or more, 8, 10 different warheads, each targeted at a different location. And what happens is the bus separates from the nose cone and then in a pre-planned sequence ejects basically the warhead, all the different warheads at different places. So say in our example there's 3 warheads in the bus of a Trident missile, each warhead will head off to a separate target, right? So it's not a case of just a single missile with a single warhead on these Trident nuclear missiles. They're MIRVed. They have multiple warheads on them, right? So that's a serious thing to consider. And here's another article that is germane to all this. Some of you probably remember this from this past January. Now, we see with the schizophrenic nature of the reportage, of the lamestream media reportage. On the one hand, they laugh at the North Koreans. Ha, ha, ha. They conducted this missile launch and it flopped completely. The thing fell over or the thing flew about, a short distance and crashed. Ha, ha, ha. And then they start whipping up the fear again as the North Koreans plan another missile test. So they're doing this back and forth ping pong where laugh at them, ha, 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 point laugh when their missile tests go awry. And then next thing you know, they're hyping up all the fear again about an impending North Korean missile test and what is the U.S. going to do about it? Blah, 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 quack, quack, quack. Well, back in January 2017, right, a mere 5 months ago, thereabouts, a little less than 5 months ago, here's an article from a website called The Conversation. Trident missile failure. Just how safe is the UK's nuclear deterrent? And the gist of the article is, here's the first paragraph. The Sunday Times has caused a furor by reporting that a 2016 test of the UK's submarine-borne strategic nuclear deterrent ended in failure after the submarine HMS Vengeance returned to sea following a £350 million refit. It tested a Trident II D5 missile off the coast of Florida. Immediately after launch, the unarmed missile reportedly veered off course and flew towards the U.S. mainland rather than following its planned trajectory towards a sea target near West Africa. Oops. Let me read that last sentence again. Immediately after launch, the unarmed missile reportedly veered off course and flew towards the U.S. mainland rather than following its planned trajectory towards a sea target near West Africa. Details of the technical aspects of the failure have not been released for reasons of national security. Further on in the article, confronted with the revelations on live television, the UK's Prime Minister, Theresa May, initially refused to confirm whether she was made aware of the incident before a crucial House of Commons vote a month later, which confirmed the renewal of the submarines that carry the deterrent. However, Downing Street later confirmed that she was indeed informed before the vote was held. So, what we have here is, this is a mere 8 years after this operating system was installed on these Royal Navy nuclear-armed submarines. And you know what? These things do happen. Missiles do veer off course. Every once in a while, ETs come along and fly their craft and, in circles around these nuclear missiles, nuclear launch sites. There was a guy named Robert Jacobs, if memory serves. He was at Vandenberg Air Force Base. Not saying the ETs had anything to do with this UK submarine missile launch, but I'm just pointing out that these missile tests do go awry. And back in the 1960s at Vandenberg, a guy named Jacobs was part of the photography crew. Some of you are probably familiar with this test, but it bears repeating, familiar with this case. But a missile launch was conducted, and they were tracking the flight, the trajectory of the missile up into space. And they thought they'd done a good job filming the launch. Later on, the guy Jacobs, I think his name was, called into an office. Two CIA spooks were there, and then they played the movie film, and it showed a flying saucer flying around the nose cone, emitting bright flashes, and suddenly the missile veered off course. Right, so not saying that what happened with the UK nuclear submarine missile launch was ET related. I'm just pointing it out, show that these things do happen. The errors, mishaps, mistakes of one reason or another, and all the way up to the extreme of ETs coming around and mucking with them, okay? So, small sample size, we don't know how often these missile tests go awry in the West, but is there any connection to the fact that, you now have a Windows operating system on board these British nuclear-powered submarines, and it goes awry, the missile does, back in 2016, 8 years after the Microsoft operating system is installed. And then now we have this WannaCry malware, ransomware, they have different names for it, going all over the place, particularly affecting Microsoft systems, right? So what does that mean? Okay, let me continue from the article. The Vanguard class SSBNs, that's nuclear-powered, nuclear-armed submarines, are equipped with 16 missile tubes that carry the Trident II D5 missile built to deliver British-produced warheads with an explosive yield the equivalent of 8 Hiroshima bombs. These missiles carry multiple independently targetable reentry vehicles, MIRV, payloads, and each missile is believed to be capable of delivering 3 warheads, each with around a 100 kiloton yield. Okay, so each one of those missiles has 3 nuclear warheads on board, each with a 100 kiloton yield. For comparison purposes, the one dropped on Hiroshima was anywhere from 12.7 kilotons to 13 point something kilotons, depending on the source. Each one of those warheads is believed to be a 100 kiloton yield. All right, so keep that point in mind, that maybe this renders this malware, the Microsoft operating system, etc., etc. I don't know about anyone else. I'm no nuclear weapons specialist or computer expert, but it doesn't give me comfort to know that this malware that's out there deliberately targets Microsoft systems. Interesting, though, because they really tried to hammer the Russian government and the Ministry of Interior in particular. Because they don't use the Microsoft operating system, they didn't really have much of a problem. But of course, everyone else around the world that does use that does utilize a Microsoft operating system, they either have problems or they're vulnerable to attack. So, yeah, and the article goes on to ask, should we be concerned, right? Well, that remains to be seen. Let's see how that goes. Let's hope that this malware attack doesn't muck around with financial systems. The financial system is already wobbling like jello. It won't take much to make everything go into meltdown mode. Apparently, there were some ATMs in China that were rendered null and void by this malware, and it affected some rather large banks in the West. So let's see how this goes. Interesting how we were talking about Stuxnet just last week. Interesting we were just talking about missiles and nuclear missile capabilities, weapons capabilities, and the toxic environment which resulted from this hoaxed fake nuclear weapons program. Chuckle, roll of the eyes. Anyhow, so much for that. Another subject I want to discuss is how there seems to be a separation between the aware people and the normies. Normies, as one of my friends refers to them as, like, i.e. the your average fluoridated, overly vaccinated, pilled up, full of pharmaceuticals, hammered by smart emissions, etc., etc. Those normies. There seems to be a growing separation between aware people and the normies, and this has been exacerbated ever since Trump was anointed the current U.S. puppet president, right? And according to one of my friends, who I very much value his insight, he says this separation, this apparent split between the aware people and the normies seems to even be bigger than when Obama took over. Because when Obama took over, it's interesting how they... I have to give credit where credit's due. These Tavistock types, these mass mind controllers, these Edward Bernays wannabes, they really know how to play the mass population for fools and for puppets, right? Because with the advent of Obama, we saw cultural Marxism just go through the roof. Well, that's still going on, and it's going to continue to go on until we finally dismantle this wretched system. But what we saw was the people that were the alleged conservatives, no such thing, because the conservatives in America basically are run by the neocons, right? So, you know, ultimately, it's we know this, and those of us that are aware, we know it's two sides of the same coin, oppo sames. But the cultural Marxists, the so-called liberals, really they're just socialist Marxist collectivists. They were really going into overdrive when Obama was in office for 8 years. Just all the social engineering was just going through the roof. And then people breathed a big sigh of relief when Trump was elected. A lot of people breathed a big sigh of relief because Hillary was not elected. Okay, that's a consideration as well. But people like the so-called alt-right, I never even heard of the alt-right. A good friend of mine told me about the alt-right, and I listened to what she said, and I listened to what some of the tenets and beliefs of the alt-right were, and from her, and I said, well, you know what? It's like, yeah, a lot of what they say makes sense, right? Especially as far as, you know, certain distortions of history, let's say, right? And anyway, so a lot of people breathed a sigh of relief because Hillary Clinton was not elected, or whatever clone or entity or abomination is posing as Hillary Clinton. Whole nother story. And Trump is in office. Hallelujah breakdown, right? And what's happened, of course, since in the 100-plus days that Trump's been in office, he's done all these about-faces, all these 180s. He's just fired the FBI director, right? The other day, his whole administration has been in turmoil. Fires his national security advisor, fires his FBI director. So basically all these minions and all these order followers and all these raving neocons be what's left on the platter. I mean, you could see that coming from a mile away. And many of the people in the alt-right are disillusioned. Surprise, surprise. Not all of them. Some of them are still hanging on to hope. Some of them still have faith and belief, right? Kind of like some kids want to believe in Santa Claus and whatnot. We have this spectacle where the aware people, quote-unquote, and many of whom voted for Trump, now they're disillusioned. And what's going on is the normies, the aforementioned normies, they're going crazier, if that's possible. And absolutely it's possible, because the energy continues to stream in from the galactic core. The Schumann resonance, last I checked, was somewhere like in the 30s. It was originally for a long time 7.83 hertz, and then it spiked up to like the 30s. So, you know, the fundamental constants are changing, folks. We talked about this many times. Normally stable elements are exhibiting signs of more rapid decay, which calls into question everything that we take for granted in this world, in this dimension. So the normies are going crazier. Because, and again, I have to give credit where credit's due, right? They find someone who is such a polarizing figure, someone who is such a caricature, he even winds up on The Simpsons, right? Donald Trump. And now they're making a big fuss about, oh, you know, all the secrets he gave to the Russians, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, go talk to Henry Kissinger about that when he was Secretary of State and National Security Advisor. And oh, when Kissinger was a double agent. Because Kissinger during World War II was with the Army Counterintelligence Corps. And then it turned out years later, it emerged that even back then in those days, he was passing on information to the Soviets. Surprise, surprise. So don't be all fussed about this whole Trump is giving secrets to the Russians. That's neither here nor there. Precisely because Trump is such a polarizing figure, it gives the whack jobs, the complete whack jobs, the social justice warriors, the cultural Marxists, the over-fluoridated, overly vaccinated people, it gives them someone to hate, right? They couldn't hate, you know, overtly hate Obama because, well, that's racism and, you know, that's where the conversation ends. But with Trump, right? Simpsons cartoon character, reality show rageaholic, He's got his son-in-law, a de facto national security advisor these days. And what's interesting also is that here he is, he's the figurehead, having to make all these weighty decisions, supposedly, which we know he's not. But all these weighty decisions, like, are we going to go to war with North Korea? Let's arm these Kurds in Syria to go after Assad. And just all these weighty decisions that kind of just makes people's heads spin if they stop and think about the consequences of just bad decision-making, right? And it's Trump there that's supposed to be making all these choices when he knows he's really not making them. He's just doing what he's told, basically, for the most part. So he's the perfect lightning rod for what may suddenly, at any time, degenerate into all-out civil war, right? Because they now have the kind of polarizing figure who's impeachable from here to there. And, okay, we know that the concept of impeachment really doesn't hold any teeth. Clinton was impeached, Bill Clinton, but what did it really amount to? Nothing. He pretended to weep tears when the cameras were on him, and he was kind of nationally humiliated. But as Freeman pointed out, the powers that be wanted to humiliate Clinton. They wanted to reduce the American presidency, the office of the president, to a caricature, a sideshow act, and boy howdy have they done that. You follow the bouncing ball. You're either with us or you're against us. And then you have, like, Obama, right? And then you have Trump. It's just one character after another. But they're all basically unbalanced, unhinged, whack job hybrids, every single last one of them. So now we have the social justice warriors up in arms. We're already starting to have violence in a lot of the universities, a lot of these social engineering type places like Berkeley. We're seeing replays of the WTO riots, but back then, well, it wasn't even a WTO riot. That was kind of a misnomer. It was police and army, federally protected black bloc thugs, basically, protected by the law enforcement, protected by police, who went and very publicly thrashed places like the business district in Seattle, Washington, thrashing the Starbucks there, and photographers and cameramen three and four ranks deep filming it. Of course, no one's there to interject. And that's where they, incidentally, folks, changed the meaning of the word anarchy, because the media kept calling the guy that was thrashing the Starbucks an anarchist, about as far from a real anarchist as it could be. So now, fast forward to the current time, we're having the schools, once again, the universities, long a hotbed of social engineering, mind control, militarization, etc., etc. Now they're turning into these battle zones for free speech, right? Who gives a rat's ass what Ann Coulter says? But if he/she wants to give a lecture to somebody, who cares? Let him/her give a lecture. It doesn't really matter. But no, it's like these cultural Marxists, these brainwashed communists, don't even realize what they're fighting for. No, they won't have that, right? And then you have that other guy who's some kind of conservative comedian, Greek-sounding name, forget what it, you know, what his name is. He's banned from speaking at Berkeley for security reasons, etc., etc. So it's a slippery slope. So we'll just have to wait and see what will be the spark that sets this off. And hopefully it'll be a slow burn. We won't have this meltdown, complete or an unraveling of the fabric of society in America anytime soon. Hopefully it'll be a year, 2 years, 3 years down the track. Although there have been a number of prognosticators, people who I do have respect for, who suggest that by the time 2020 rolls around, America will be in turmoil, upheaval, perhaps even civil war. And we have to ask, who is going to be the combatants? Who are going to be the adversaries in the Civil War, right, if this does happen? And I must add that You know, there's a lot of people out there in the so-called truth community who talk about the first civil war, where actually there were other rebellions. The Mormons had a rebellion. There was rebellions of people, miners in different parts of the U.S. and whatnot that got fed up with all the abuse and oppression there was being subjected to. So, those things have gone on over time. We recently saw something similar with the Bundy Ranch, right? Of people standing up to the feds and whatnot. But the term civil war is loaded, right? And you hear a lot of these people who fancy themselves truthers. No, man, the Civil War, American Civil War, was all about states' rights. Well, hold on a second. The only states' right the South, the Confederacy, was willing to fight to uphold was the institution of slavery. Make no mistake about that. There were a number of people. General Patrick Claiborne, he wanted to come up with a plan to arm slaves, free the slaves, have them fight against the Federals, and that was shot down. General Taylor, the son of President and former General Zachary Taylor, General Richard Taylor, in the very large Mississippi district, a place totally ravaged by the Federal armies, that whole area. He wanted to free the slaves and arm them to fight against the Federals. He was knocked back. And the vice president of the Confederacy, this is the infamous cornerstone speech given by Confederate Vice President Alexander Stevens. This was dated March 21st, 1861, and was reported in a newspaper article for the Savannah Republican in Savannah, Georgia. And there are some key comments he makes as regards slavery. Our new government is founded upon exactly the opposite idea. Its foundations are laid, its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural and normal condition. Applause. This is our new government. Is the first in the history of the world based upon this great physical, philosophical, and moral truth. Okay? And it's a somewhat long speech, and he reiterates this point again and again that in his view and the institutional view of the Southern Confederacy, blacks were inherently inferior. Therefore, it was perfectly normal from their standpoint that they should be subject to the whims of their white masters, okay? So, and also remember, at the time that General Patrick Claiborne, an outstanding combat commander, he never rose to the rank higher than the rank of division commander. He was a division commander in the Army of Tennessee, the Confederate Army of Tennessee, but he should have at least rose to corps command. But I'm not going to get into it for a variety of reasons. He ran afoul of the Confederate military hierarchy. And also the Confederate government, precisely because of some of his views, which many of his fellow generals were really against this notion of freeing the blacks and arming them. And one of the generals, I can't remember the name, said to him, "The whole reason we're fighting is to maintain this way of life." It must be understood, the soldiers in the ranks, the Confederate white troops, were not fighting to uphold slavery. They were fighting to defend their homeland from federal invasion. Those are two different things, okay? A lot of the higher ranking Confederate officers and politicians, some of them did own plantations which were operated by slaves, so they had a vested financial interest, right? So this whole notion that the Civil War was not about slavery is patently absurd, and I will argue that until someone else is blue in the face, because you can't just wave your magic wand and make the comments of Confederate Vice President Alexander Stevens go away, where he said basically the very foundation of our way of life, of our government, of our society in the South is based upon slavery. And that was a problem that ultimately was the downfall of the South, of the Confederacy. They were not industrialized. They were an agricultural society that relied on slavery, okay? So that was a huge Achilles heel for them. They had a smaller population than the North. They were not as industrialized. They didn't have the kind of weaponry that the North was able to come up with during the war. So I just wanted to put that notion to rest. Take your time, do your own research about it. The whole concept of the American Civil War is still a trigger, hot button kind of subject. But these people that say, oh no, it's all about states' rights, no. There was only one state right that the South was willing to fight for, and that was slavery. If someone else could find me another state right that the South was willing to fight for, I want to hear it. Oh, one last thing too. The whole thing about the Kansas-Nebraska Act was ultimately whether to extend slavery into the areas of Kansas and Nebraska, right? Lincoln was perfectly happy to keep slavery where it was, but he just didn't want to expand it into Kansas or into the Nebraska Territory. And that was the crux of the matter too. It wasn't that what became the Confederacy was satisfied, content with slavery in their part of the country. They wanted to expand it, right? And as General Ulysses S. Grant pointed out in his memoirs, the American Civil War was an outgrowth of the Mexican-American War, and what Grant himself said, and many others have commented, absolutely blatant, that the Mexican-American War of 1847-48 was a blatantly aggressive, illegal war on the part of the United States government. There's no two ways about it. The aforementioned General Zachary Taylor played a key role in that, and this large armed incursion into Mexico. And then when the Mexicans had the audacity, apparently, to fire back, and resist their invasion, suddenly the Mexicans were the aggressors, despite the fact that Zachary Taylor's forces were deep into Mexico at the time. Again, it was just more media manipulation. The point of relevance is, if we do go into another civil war, what will that entail? Who will be fighting who? Right? That's a very good question. There does seem to be elements within the military that are against the New World Order, that are against the tribalist collectivist agenda, but just how many of them are out there, we'll never know. They certainly don't match up as far as numbers and firepower, intelligence gathering capability as the forces arrayed against them, let's put it that way. And how will this civil war, if it does come to pass, how will it manifest? Maybe we're seeing the initial manifestations of it now with these brain-dead, fluoride-drunk social justice warriors being turned loose all over the place at a time when police brutality is at all-time high, because it's clear that law enforcement and the military have been turned inward against the citizens. It's very clear that's been the trend for a long time. That's why many long-serving members of Army Special Forces and even Delta Force back in the early 90s began resigning in droves because they saw what direction it was headed, and why Delta Force in particular started actively pushing to get more Rangers and more Marines through the selection process to make up the loss in numbers. And of course, now we got this ongoing bogus war on terror. There's no shortage of psychopaths for the military and the law enforcement agencies to recruit from. So we must look at these, and it's obvious, but it bears repeating, that we must look at these social justice warriors and their ilk as proxy armies. So far, they've been a protected species. They don't seem to get arrested. They don't seem to be set upon by the police at these noisy, sometimes violent demonstrations. When the social justice warriors attack somebody, the somebody who's attacked is likely the one to be assaulted and arrested by the police. We've seen that already. Another thing about the whole concept of the normies going completely crazy is precisely what we alluded to earlier, the energetic shift, and I've mentioned this in other podcasts, and it's been discussed in a number of interviews over the years by a variety of people. The veils between worlds are getting thinner. These normies will be subject more and more to these parasitic hyperdimensional entities, not just ETs, but all manner of these hyperdimensional entities. and myself, Bernard Gunther, Evie Lorgan, Tom Montauk, and a number of others, Laura Leone, we've had webinars about this very subject, hyperdimensional interference. Now, those of us who've gone through hyperdimensional interference, who've gone through ET abductions and whatnot, well, relatively speaking, we're going to take this in stride, because as time goes on, and it's already starting to happen, more and more of these entities are crossing over into our reality and are having a difficult time getting back to where they came from because of this merging of dimensions. More and more entities are coming over here, and they're here, and they look around, they go, yummy, yummy, yummy. They see all these food sources, right? Because they are parasitic entities, the ones I'm referring to, and they thrive on creating human misery and chaos because they feed off all the unpleasantness and unhappiness and discordance and all the low energetic vibes. The people, the normies, whereas before, generally those with a genetic spiritual vulnerability, predisposition, or due to self-medication in the form of alcohol abuse, drug abuse, now increasingly pharmaceutical abuse due to the psychiatric tyranny, where they have pills for every occasion, basically, and every mood disorder, so-called. Well, now, seemingly normal people, quote-unquote, that had exhibited, well, as David Icke points out, normal behavior in an entirely abnormal society, now they're going crazy because they're being subjected to more and more of this hyperdimensional interference. It's affecting their moods. It's affecting the way they think. It's affecting their decision-making process. These negative entities are inputting all these thought forms, all these, these OCD thought loops, and all these malign negative thoughts, these thoughts of hopelessness and thoughts of rage and what have you. And what's the default setting? Oh, doctor, I've been having all these weird thoughts lately. I don't know what's coming over me and, you know, why I'm feeling this way and why I'm so bummed out and why I'm, like, hating society, yada, yada, yada. Oh, we've got a cure for that, son. And then they start hammering them with the psychotropic drugs, which drive them crazier, gives them suicidal ideations, makes them have violent outbursts, etc., etc., etc. A lot of these normies, so-called, who are already on the verge of going crazy anyway, now, with the merging of worlds, they're going to go really crazy. One of my friends that I'm going to have here is a future guest. She's in my lab, had reptilian experiences, been taken off world a number of times, taken to other dimensions by the military, actually. She's seen, not in her current house, but in her last house, she's seen how a demon, some demon entity, was creating a portal and crawling right into her home. I mean, she would see it create a hole and then crawl in to her house, crawl into her space, right? Now, it's questionable whether anyone else would be able to see that, a normie, right, in the past. She just was able to see it because she had etheric vision. She had psychic third eye vision. She's of a particular bloodline. And that was one of the reasons why the military was accessing her and utilizing her metaphysical abilities for remote viewing and for astral travel, etc., etc. It's questionable whether anyone else that has vision that can only see things in the visual spectrum, if anyone else would have seen what she was seeing. This literally a red demon with red glowing eyes and little, actually, I think memory serves, they were more stubby. They were kind of short, stubby horns. Clearly, there were protuberances on the top of its head. And this showed up a few times. And if she comes on the show, I'm going to ask her about it. And it would come and mess with her. Now, if she didn't see that, how would she recognize or be aware of its presence? Well, maybe in the form of illness, anxiety, emotional mood swings, equipment malfunctioning, technology malfunctioning, ghosts in the machine kind of stuff. Who knows? But The bottom line was she can see him. And now what we think is, as time goes on, more and more people, more and more of the normies, are going to start seeing these entities. Now, even those of us that have been around the block a time or two, you know, we're going to be somewhat taken aback if we come across some of these critters, like opening a portal right in front of us or something, right? You know, it's some of us are going to be taken aback. But you know what? We're going to recover a lot quicker. A lot quicker. The normies, they're going to go, pardon my Anunnaki, batshit crazy. Because so many of them are shame-based anyway. They'll keep this stuff to themselves because they're too shame-based to bring it up even with their spouse or their significant other or anyone, close confidant, close friend. If they bring it up with anyone, it'll be a shrink, and then they'll be hammered by the psychiatric tyranny. And what's happening also, this was mentioned to me by a friend, a person who survived satanic ritual abuse and had all kinds of experiences, all kinds of experiences, encounters with mind controllers and whatnot. Also ET reptilian experiences. And this person pointed out, and I would concur with this, based on my own observations, that the parasites that are coming here, and many of them get trapped here because of the merging of dimensions. It's like they either can't go back or they don't want to go back because there's such like a, there's so much nutrition here. There's such a food-rich environment, right? Target-rich environment. Aware people, certainly people aware of the hyperdimensional ET, malign ET hyperdimensional influence, are not the preferred source of nourishment, preferred source of food for these negative entities coming over here from other dimensions and whatnot. No, they're not going after us as much because we don't provide that nourishment for them. We don't go into a tailspin of paranoia and fear and rage and lashing out and acting out and whatnot because, well, we're veterans. We're veterans of the cosmic wars, right? Their efforts don't have that much of an effect on us, especially since we're the ones, and I keep saying this, we're the ones riding the frequency wave, right? We're the ones riding the frequency wave. So what they're going to do is target those who are less resistant, that have more holes in their auric field, that haven't done the self-work, who don't even know they have an inner shadow, that are pilled up with pharmaceuticals, that are brainwashed by the system, that are overly fluoridated, eating Big Macs all the time, hypnotized by the lamestream news. They're the ones. Those people represent the buffet table. And the entities are going, all the entities coming over here, finding themselves either stuck here, but also noticing they're in a food-rich, target-rich environment, they're going to be going after the normies. The normies who, I'll remind you, are increasingly becoming unstable, disrupted, to use a phrase, a term my friend Laura Leone uses, which I love, dysregulated, right? These normies are getting more and more dysregulated. They're going to be like a mega food source for these entities that are crossing over and getting stuck, or the ones that do have the means to cross over, munch out, and go back. Well, they're going to come back a lot. They're going to come back more often because of the target-rich environment. So that's a key point to remember. I think as time goes on, parasites are having a harder and harder time feeding on more aware people. You know, because you have to remember that even people that just have slightly above surface level awareness, okay, say they know about the depopulation agenda, eugenics, chemtrails, they don't know the kind of stuff that we do, like, you know, my labs and hyperdimensional interference and, you know, all that hardcore stuff. The widespread satanic ritual abuse, mind control, etc., etc. Maybe they're scared to head in that direction, or they still have vestiges of programming which prevent them from going in that direction, whatever the case may be. If they're at least above the surface level of awareness, the dumbed-down, fluoridated TV level, let's say, and say they're eating right, they're into healthy living, they're very smart about maintaining their sacred space, which Naomi Swan and Deborah Jane East and I will be discussing in an upcoming interview, which I can't wait to put out, and say that, you know, these aware people are smart about maintaining their sacred space. They don't have bad association with negative energy infested people. They don't eat bad food. They don't self-medicate. They don't, drug themselves out and are alcoholics, et cetera, et cetera. And again, not making a value judgment on any of those people. It's just that when people overindulge in one form or another, they open themselves up to this form of hyperdimensional parasitic predation, right? So even people that aren't aware at our level, they're still going to be better off. They're still going to be more resistant to all these fast food attacks from all these parasites, right? Right now, these parasites are figuratively like rocking up through the drive-through of all these people in their homes, and there's so much toxicity and so much dysfunctionality and so much strife in a lot of homes these days, and all the angst and all the disquiet that's generated from this monetized debt system. A lot of people stressing out about bills, a lot of people stressing out about finances, and the more aware people that haven't done a lot of their inner work, that are, and this happens really a lot to people who are just above the surface level of awareness. People say at the AJ, Alex Jones, InfoWars level, right? They're not solutions oriented. They know enough what's going on around them, monetized debt system and false flags and hoaxes and whatnot, that they're basically in the constant state of rage and paranoia, rage against the machine and paranoia and fear. They become like buffet tables for these entities. And I must say also, when people say, oh, look, you know, so-and-so's eyes went vertical, that doesn't mean the guy's a shape-shifting reptilian, right? First of all, a lot of people shape-shift, but they don't necessarily shape-shift into reptilians. They can shape-shift into a feline being. They can shape-shift into a lichen-type being, right? But also, there are good reptilians that have attachments or have taken up certain people as hosts. And when these people get, you know, go into righteous indignation mode and start raging against the machine, I mean, these are generally good people. It's just that they allow themselves to get into a certain frequency bandwidth where it allows these entities, these reptilians, some of them may be good folks. Some of these reptilians that take people up as hosts, they may be good reptilians, okay? That does happen. And so momentarily you see a guy's eyes go vertical. That doesn't mean that they're a bad person, a shapeshifter, or, you know, or possessed by a negative reptilian. There are no shortage of good people out there. I mean, I've seen video of Ron Paul, and then momentarily his eyes get kind of, pupils get a little vertical and his teeth get all jagged. But that doesn't mean anything. The film was shot in somewhere like Congress or the Capitol building, which are energy-ridden, vortex-ridden places anyway. And if he's tired, if he's worn down, if he just had been in the presence with one or more hosty people in a place like Washington, D.C., that's, you know, it's quite likely to happen in the corridors of power, and he's a little run down, little jet lag, whatever, yeah, I could see a nearby entity saying, oh, I can momentarily cling onto Ron Paul's auric field and make his features change a little bit for the camera, and people will point to the, you know, screen and say, aha, I knew it all along, Ron Paul's a shapeshifter. Well, not so fast. Because anybody could momentarily become subject to these critters, okay? And not all of them are bad, but a lot of them are, okay? So let's keep that point in mind. So we've kind of gone full circle in this commentary. And, you know, this last bit, I was talking about Trump, and I was talking about the normies, and a lot of the Trump followers, they feel like they've been double-crossed. A lot of them have egg on their face, right? So, you know what? Just get over it. Get over it. Get over yourselves. Mea culpa. I made a mistake. I emotionally invested myself in someone who's been under the control of the Roy Cohns and, you know, the all that mob all along. So don't feel bad. A lot. Look, I voted for George Bush Sr., okay? Okay, that's one of my deep, dark, dirty skeletons that was buried deep in my closet. I voted for George the Elder, okay? So, we all it's a learning process for us. And there's nothing wrong with hope, folks. There's nothing wrong with belief and hoping that if anyone deserves our, well wishes and what, the Christians regard as prayers, it would be someone like Trump, right? Just hope he doesn't fly off the rails one day, and just does what his minders want him to do and just do something to cause things to unravel in a big way. Covered a lot of ground today. The possibility of future, well, there's already civil unrest in America because of George Soros and his minions and what he's doing. So, anyway, I just thought I'd bring these subjects up. Remember to keep yourselves in a bubble of harmony, of love, of upliftment. You're here on a mission. Think of yourselves almost as like in those movies where you have this couple and they're kind of like they're really spies, but they have to act like everyone else. But in our case, they're like hybrid spies. They're people that know that they're descended from higher dimensional ETs and they're here for a mission. And yeah, when you're out there and you're having dinner with family and extended family and they're still very much stuck in the matrix, just and they get triggered when you bring up some of these key issues. Just play the game. Just play your part and just remember, because you're undercover, a lot of you're basically undercover here, if it hasn't dawned on you by now, right? Anyhow, we'll see you next week. Been listening to Bartley's commentaries on the cosmic wars. Wherever you may be, dear listeners, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next week.